Chapter 24. Dustin. Nothing in town would be open yet, especially not on a Sunday, but the 45 minutes it would take me to get there would give the store owners enough time to light up the open signs. Even if everything was still closed when I got there, I'd just drive around and kill some time until they opened. As long as there was a muddy stretch of road between me and the ranch for a little while, I was happy. Gripping the steering wheel, I tried not to relive last night, or the night we'd steamed up my truck's windows on the side of the road right there, between the end of Grange Ranch's fence and the bridge over Horton's Creek. Not that I could forget. Every ache and twinge reminded me of everything we'd done. Every time I moved, even to steer the truck or push down on the accelerator, my mind went right back to her bed. And there was no denying it. Spending one last night together was a huge mistake. I'd never felt closer to her than I did last night, and if I could have left well enough alone, maybe I wouldn't have felt so goddamned alone this morning. Amy wouldn't stay. No matter how close we'd been between the sheets, neither of us could pretend her brother's words hadn't gotten under her skin, or that the decision she'd probably made by now hadn't been inevitable since the day she'd arrived. I went by the feed store and pretended not to notice that old man Smitty noticed I was here way too early, or that Amy had been here just yesterday. The hardware store had the latches I needed to replace a few that had started falling off their doors. But I drove over to Walmart to see if they had them cheaper. They did, but I preferred supporting the local businesses when I could. So I went back to the hardware store and picked up what I needed. The waitress at the diner on 4th Street asked about my parents, the horses, and if we'd be going to the rodeo this weekend. I bit back my opinions about rodeos, especially those my ex-wife might be attending, and just said we wouldn't be able to make it before I sipped my coffee and ordered my breakfast. By the time I'd finished, the diner was getting crowded, so I couldn't justify lingering here and ordering a 4th, 5th, 6th cup of coffee. I killed as much time as I could in town, but duty called. The longer I lingered out here, the longer I'd be working horses tonight. Better to get home and get to work than screw up their eating, sleeping, and working patterns. 45 minutes wasn't as long as it usually was. Before I knew it, all the fences and pastures were behind me, and I turned off the dirt road and drove under the King's Ranch sign. I parked next to Amy's truck, and my heart sank. The handful of boxes in the bed of her pickup told me everything we both already knew. But so soon? Today? She wasn't kidding when she said tomorrow soon. But that was a hell of a lot harder to stomach now that it was today. Maybe it was better that way. Rip off the bandage and be done with it, instead of dragging it out until tomorrow, this weekend, next week. Plus, I'd have the farmhand duties to keep me occupied and distracted until we found someone to fill the job. Hey. Amy's voice turned me around, and when I saw her, I gulped. Hey. Her eyes darted toward her truck, then to the ground between us.
I figured it would be better if I left sooner than later.
Right. I tried to find some air. Might be easier that way. Amy nodded, but didn't look at me.
I still feel like I should give you 2 weeks.
Don't worry about it. I didn't think I could handle 2 weeks of knowing when she was leaving. Do you need help with anything before you go?
No, I didn't have much to pack. It didn't take long.
Oh, well, good. Less work, and I realized I was rambling and just trailed off and let it go. Anyway, are you sure you don't need a hand with anything?
I'm okay. She nodded toward my parents' house. I said goodbye to your mom and dad earlier, and I gave them my key.
God, this is happening too fast. I need it to be over, now. Slow down, Amy, please. She gestured over her shoulder.
I was just going to go in and see the horses one more time. Then I should go.
Mind if I walk with you? She smiled faintly.
No, of course not.
I went with her, and neither of us said a word as we walked into the barn together.
It wasn't like she was moving to another planet, but deep down, I didn't think she'd be coming back here. She had to get back on her feet in the world she'd left behind, so I didn't kid myself into getting my hopes up she'd leave that world again. And 7 or 8 hours was a long way to drive for a visit, especially for 2 incredibly busy trainers with packed barns and grueling schedules. She stoically said goodbye to Chip and Star, plus a few other horses she'd apparently bonded with during this too short time. It was Blue, though, who rattled her composure. Just approaching his door, she put a hand to her lips as her eyes welled up.
"You okay?" I asked.
Without looking at me or speaking, she nodded, and with unsteady hands, she opened the latch on his door. As she went into his stall, I stood in the doorway, watching her with him.
"Hey, you."
Amy ran the backs of her fingers down his face.
"You're going to behave, right? Be good for Dustin?"
Her voice cracked, and I swallowed hard, trying to keep myself together. Amy sniffed. She stroked Blue's face, then his shoulder. I almost had to turn away when she wrapped her arms around his neck, and Blue, the horse that had been so skittish he'd break out in a sweat if a person stepped into his stall, rested his head on her back. He didn't understand why she was upset. He didn't know that when she left his stall and walked out of the barn this time, she wouldn't be coming back. And I envied him. Amy let go of Blue and stepped out of his stall. She latched the door and quickly wiped her eyes, and neither of us spoke until we were out in the parking area again, standing too close to the truck that was ready to take her back to her home. She turned slowly and faced me.
"I guess that's everything."
"Yeah," I said. "I think so."
"I should go then. It's a long drive."
I nodded. "Right. I won't keep you." I paused. "Drive safe."
"I will. And thank you again for everything."
"You're welcome," I said. "And thank you." She smiled, which only emphasized the extra shine in her eyes. Then she dropped her gaze and cleared her throat.
"Well, if you're ever on the other side of the mountains and want to say hello, look me up."
"I will," I said. "Same goes for you, if you're back this way again." We exchanged smiles, and then she put her arms around me. I hugged her tight, closing my eyes and willing myself to keep it together. Just until her truck disappeared down the driveway. I could do that. I could. "God, please." Amy loosened her embrace, and as we pulled back, our eyes met again. We didn't let go yet, and at this point, pulling away completely wasn't inevitable. Not when we were still just close enough together to tease my senses with all the times we'd been this close before. But then we both pulled back and broke the embrace completely. We avoided each other's eyes through one last goodbye, and the jingle of her truck keys in her hand told me this moment was well and truly ending. With every step she took toward the cab, panic rose in my chest, like there was still something I needed to say before the opportunity passed. The driver's side door slammed shut. The opportunity had passed, and I didn't wait to watch the truck disappear down the driveway before I went back into the barn. It hadn't even hurt like this after my ex-wife left. And at the same time, I couldn't recall ever being this numb, empty. I thought back to the day I met Amy. There'd been nothing in her eyes, barely any life, let alone a spark of personality or feeling. She'd been cold, distant, detached. This must have been what she felt back then. I wandered down the barn aisle and didn't even realize where I was going until I stopped in front of Blue's door. He greeted me with a soft nicker, and I ran my hand down his neck while my mind followed Amy down the driveway, down the dirt road, down the highway and the interstate toward the mountains.
Did I really think she'd stay forever? Horses came to this place to recover or train, and then they moved on. Why should it be so different for humans? For God's sake, she'd come here to escape a world that had been shaken off its foundation. We both knew she'd eventually have to go back and pick up the pieces. We knew this was coming. Blue nudged my arm with his muzzle, and I realized I'd stopped petting him. As I resumed stroking his neck, I thought, and what am I going to do with you now? He wasn't ready for a new owner yet. He was sound, and with some time and patience, he'd be safe for someone other than Amy to ride, but not yet. If I sold him now or handed him off to another trainer who specialized in rescues, he may as well be back at square one. Establishing trust with a new handler wasn't a simple process with a horse like him. But I didn't know if I could handle working with him. Not when everything about him said Amy to me. One way or another, though, I had to let him go at some point. I couldn't hold on to him. I couldn't hold on to her. Neither of them belonged here. I just didn't know where that left me.